Breaking news today on Secio: is President Biden readies thousands of troops for European deployment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secio. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secio.
There's been a lot to talk about on today's broadcast. In fact, if you heard the tease to the show, President Biden has ordered thousands of U.S. troops, 3,000 U.S. reservists to Europe. The only conflict going on right now in Europe, of course, a major conflict, is the war in Ukraine. So questions about what those reservists are going to be doing and why are they there still remains to be answered. But again, it seems like the war continues to escalate. At the same time, we're talking about sending more arms, sending more weapons. I want you to listen to this from President Biden. He went from NATO to Finland, and he made this remark about the war. And it's a head-scratcher, because if it's true, why are we sending 3,000 reservists, uprooting them from their lives, over to Europe, where the only major war in the world is ongoing, if he actually believes what he says in this statement? Or is it another major Biden gaffe?
No one can join NATO while a war is going on, where a NATO nation is being attacked, because that guarantees that we're in a war, and we're in a third world war. So that it's not about whether or not they should or shouldn't join. It's about when they can join, and they will join NATO. The issue of whether or not this is going to keep Putin from continuing to fight, the answer is Putin's already lost the war.
Logan,
yeah, they've already lost
the Putin
war.
Has already lost the war, then Ukraine should be allowed into NATO.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have to then, there wouldn't be a third world war, because it would be over. So that is just absolutely wrong. Has Ukraine performed much better than anyone thought?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is the war over? Not based off what I'm seeing. At all. Not even close. We got Rick Rennell joining us in the next segment of the broadcast live.
Coming on early.
If you've got questions for him about this, Rick is happy to answer your questions too. So 1-800-684-3110. We will take your questions. You can talk directly to Rick Rennell, former Trump cabinet member, former acting director of national intelligence, former ambassador to Germany, spent 10 years at the United Nations, and is now a senior advisor to the ACLJ. So he knows what he's talking about on these issues, and it's great to have him early on the show today. Be a part of that conversation. Get your questions in for Rick at 1-800-684-3110. The war over? That's a head-scratcher. 3,000 more troops with a little explanation, but we know they're going to Europe, so you can kind of read between the lines there. We've got more to talk about on today's show as well, just to kind of give you an update about what we're going to get into, a politics update. You know, on these Fridays, as we get closer to debates, and that's only next month, and actual people voting, that's in January with the Iowa caucuses. We like to spend some Fridays in a segment going over what do the polls look like, who's up on the rise, who's up on the way down, who's coming, who maybe we haven't been talking about enough that is getting more attention. Where's the money going? We got a lot of campaign finance reports. That tells you more than anything at this point right now, but certainly just kind of that feel from the ground. Also, in a big victory, remember, ACLJ Action, we asked you to write your letter to members of Congress using acljaction.org. We got that pro-life amendment within the National Defense Authorization Act, preventing the use of taxpayer dollars to pay for flights, travel, and abortions of members of the military. But now it heads to the U.S. Senate. We're already prepared for this language to be stripped out and to have a legal battle over it. We'll explain that for you, too. But over 6,000 of you signed that letter to the House. We're going to reactivate that as well to the Senate at acljaction.org. So plenty to talk about. Get your questions in for Rick when he comes up next on the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, we've got our matching challenge right now. I just went over a bunch of issues we're working on at the ACLJ.
That's right. You can do that right now by going to aclj.org. Any donation is effectively doubled. So if you give $10, it becomes $20 and so on from other donors who are ready to unlock their match. So just go to aclj.org, make any donation today, and we'll get that done. Again, coming up next is Rick Grinnell. We got a lot to talk about too later on about some of the work the ACLJ is doing, some really breaking news that's coming out of the ACLJ. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
back to SecHeal. We are taking your calls, too, if you want to talk to Rick, 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinell, our Senior Advisor for Foreign Policy and National Security, is joining us now. And, Rick, you tweeted out this morning, 8 of the 31 NATO countries currently pay their obligations, 2% of their GDP military spending, into NATO. Germany and Canada are two of the wealthier nations not paying their agreed-upon percentage. Yet, President Joe Biden failed to press NATO this week, but then called up American reserves to active duty. That's the key line we wanted to talk to you about today. People are kind of scratching their heads. The number is somewhere around 3,000 U.S. reservists who have now been, as you said, called up to active duty in Europe. I guess we haven't seen a lot of explanation for what they are going to do.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll get much because the administration doesn't really know. They're scrambling. There's no strategy. I would point people to President Trump's statement this morning. Wow, was it a good one. It really nails Joe Biden because it goes back and it shows that President Biden has said that the United States is running out of ammo, a certain type of ammo that's needed in Ukraine, and the Ukrainians need it. And so when you combine the fact that the United States is running out of some artillery, and we're clearly at the point where our men and women are exhausted or tired or stretched, whatever word you want to use, the Pentagon has asked for reserves to be called up to active duty. Now, I know that's only 3,000. But this is just the beginning. And so when you look at what President Trump is saying, I think he's got a great point, which is we're depleting our artillery. We're depleting the men and women of the armed forces. At least they're stretched thin enough to where we got to call up reinforcements. This is a signal that we're marching towards war. There's no peace plan. And all of Washington, D.C. seems to be stuck on the fact that we are just going to war and more war. What is it that the American government is so trapped? You know, we did Iraq and Afghanistan. We just ended Afghanistan. And so now we got to create another perpetual war. The war machine, I think, is very large, very popular, and very powerful. And we need to be able to recognize that peace is way more popular.
I'm all for replenishing those weapons that we need to make sure we have an adequate enough weapons that if there was a major conflict, we have enough weapons to sustain ourselves, for ourselves, especially taking care of America first, and that our troops have those weapons. I think American taxpayers are happy to pay for that. They may not be happy. The reason why they're so depleted is because we sent them off to Ukraine without a process in place already to make sure that they were that we were restockpiling our weapons here in the United States. I wanted to play this. I'm going to play this for you again because it's such a head scratcher, and I want to get your direct thoughts on it because President Biden made a big statement in Finland today. And I mean, I don't know if it's a gaffe or if it's gaslighting. It's one of the two. Let's play it again, folks.
No one can join NATO while a war is going on, where a NATO nation is being attacked. Because that guarantees that we're in a war, and we're in a third world war. So that it's not about whether or not they should or shouldn't join. It's about when they can join, and they will join NATO. The issue of whether or not this is going to keep Putin from continuing to fight, the answer is Putin's already lost the war.
Okay. Right there, Rick. If the war is done in Ukraine, then we don't need the reservist, and I guess we could allow Ukraine to join NATO because there wouldn't be a third world war. It just seems like total gaslighting. We're sending over resources to the point where we're depleted.
Yeah, look, we haven't even touched yet on the billions and billions of dollars that the American taxpayer has been given for protecting Ukrainian borders, but not American borders. I think that's a real troublesome strategy. And also, look, you started this segment by reading my tweet, which I care very deeply about NATO and NATO funding. And 8 out of the 31 countries are paying their NATO obligations. In 2014, in Wales at the NATO meeting, that's called the Wales Pledge, NATO members gave themselves 10 years from 2014 to 2024 to get their act together and spend 2% of their GDP on military issues and readiness for NATO.
Yeah, I want to go to the phone. Yeah, I want to go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jeffrey in Indiana on line one. Hey, Jeffrey.
Thank you for taking my call. I heard on social media Donald Trump says he can end that war in one day. I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, this again, I know that this statement, Rick, I think you could probably explain it best. I actually do understand, I think, what President Trump's saying, because one day as president, but there's also a transition period of months where the country at war, like a Russia, knows you're coming in.
Like Reagan.
Right. They know you're coming, and they know you're coming with a very different strategy, and they know you're coming with kind of this no BS strategy. So with that, I think it's one day maybe as president, but you do have this period of time during a transition to tell the world and tell the Russians exactly what's going to happen if you continue this when I take the oath of office.
Hey, look, I think Donald Trump could solve this in one day, because there's a difference between a threat of military action and a credible threat of military action. And one of the things about Donald Trump is that he's unpredictable, and leaders know he's unpredictable, and they respect that. I can't answer this question without showing the fact that Donald Trump had sanctions on Putin's Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Joe Biden came in and dropped those sanctions on Putin's pipeline and signaled weakness. Putin saw Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. All of these issues point to credibility. And what Donald Trump has is the ability to sit in that room, and when he says something, they know it's absolutely the truth. And so he can solve this in 24 hours, because he would go directly to both sides and speak to them directly. We've got a problem in Washington that people think talking directly to an opponent or an enemy or somebody is somehow a reward. Talking is a tactic to get to your goal, and we should never be afraid of talking.
I mean, I think that is one of the biggest issues here. Is we've spent this, we've been monitoring this with you, Rick, throughout this week, the trip to NATO, the statements made, the kind of the way the president looked, and I guess even the perception of President Biden, reading from the note cards and kind of not having this full grasp, then making these broad statements like the war in Ukraine is over, and admitting on national television that we don't have the ammunitions that we need and we're depleted both at home. And so we don't even have and that was a justification for cluster bombs. It is really frustrating to people that every time these group nations come together, they never even try to come up with a plan or an idea or way to where this ends. How does this actually come to an end? You can't just say the Russians have already lost the war. Ask a Ukrainian right now if that's true while their town or city is getting bombed. Ask a Russian military member if that's true while he's getting shot at by Ukrainians with U.S. weapons. So it's not true. But even if it was aspirational, it would be nice to have an aspirational goal to get this done.
Look, stale Washington, D.C. diplomacy is about delivering talking points, delivering lines, not listening. They don't have the ability to do real-time negotiations. President Biden skipped the dinner with NATO members because he can't have an interaction. He can only read cue cards. You and I, Jordan, talk a lot about Turkey and Erdogan. And that meeting between Joe Biden and President Erdogan was embarrassing. Joe Biden had talking points. He kept glancing down at his lap, reading talking points. Erdogan is sitting there saying, why can't we have a real-time conversation about the war, about peace, about Putin? And Joe Biden doesn't have the ability, the cognitive ability to interact, which is why he's scripted on everything. It's a one-way street.
That's why when I think Rick, when he said that the war in Ukraine is over, that is a scripted moment. That's a teleprompter moment. And so it's not a gaffe. It's gaslighting to the American people, because it's just not true. We're sending all these weapons over. We're calling up reservists. We're uprooting American reservists, those men and women who proudly serve our country, to go to, again, because it seems like our troops are too thin also around the world. Rick, as always, we appreciate you being part of the ACLJ team and all of your analysis as well. And Logan, just one example, having Rick as a team member who can weigh in on all this for us and really help us work through it so that the ACLJ can do its best job about what we can do in these situations.
That's right. And we're going to talk a lot more of that coming up a little bit later. You're going to hear some about the new stuff that we're working on at the ACLJ. But also, we're going to hear next, we're going to have Harry Hutchinson in the studio. We're going to talk a little about student debt and the cancellation of that and what it really means and what it really means for you. So we encourage you, join us right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Give the matching challenge right now. And hey, it's Jordan's birthday. So yay, it's a birthday. So for his birthday, this may be hacky, but I'm going to say it's for his birthday. Make a donation to the ACLJ, and it will be matched for his birthday. I don't know if you could put a message, but I'll just assume any donation that comes in the next hour or a couple hours, you know, let's say today, is a happy birthday Jordan message. So ACLJ.org. Jump back to that. Welcome back to Secula. And again, I said,
great to be 30.
Yes, you look. Well, I don't know if you look good for 30. That would be too. No. Welcome back.
I've always been, you know, older.
Yeah. If you had said like 80, I'd be like, oh yes, you would. No.
I am kidding. That means that you've been listening to me on radio since I was 12.
Yeah. No. Which is probably accurate, but still, we're back. You're not 30. Go to ACLJ.org, support the work, the matching challenge right now. And again, I said, every donation that comes in today, we'll just assume, is a Jordan Seculo happy birthday match. So it's a special day. It's a matching moment. It's the Jordan Seculo happy birthday matching moment. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot, plenty more to talk about today on the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We'll keep your questions in too. If you got questions too about things we just talked about, some of those questions we're researching now to get the best answers for you as possible. That's why we got a whole team behind us that you don't even see on this broadcast, our research team as well. So when we get questions that are very specific, even that are kind of in the past, we make sure we answer them exactly right or as best we can. So we're doing that now as we speak. But there's also some economic news. You might think, okay, I thought that this whole student loan debt relief, the Supreme Court overturned it, said, the president Biden couldn't do this unilaterally on his own. And of course, what did the Democrats immediately tell us? Well, they'll figure something else out. Now, that's exactly what they have tried to do. Now, the question is whether or not what they tried to figure out, how far that goes and will it actually get anything done, I think is now the bigger question. So I want to go to Harry Hutchinson on this because, Harry, explain to our audience now what the Biden administration has announced.
Well, 3 years or almost 3 years into the Biden administration, they have allegedly found administrative errors in a particular student loan program, which is directed toward individuals who have applied for and have been selected for so-called income-driven repayment plans. This only applies to a limited universe of college debt, and it's important to keep in mind that it only affects 804,000 individuals as opposed to the almost 43 million people affected by the prior loan program, which was shut down by the United States Supreme Court. So theoretically, according to reports that I've read, and I've read the United States Department of Education press release, it basically suggests that over the course of the last 10, 20, 30 years, borrowers have been repaying funds under this so-called income-driven repayment plan, and the administration has not kept accurate count of that. That is clearly possible, but in my opinion, more likely than not, this program is simply a face-saving gesture by the Biden administration because they lost with respect to their prior plan before the United States Supreme Court, and it will affect a minuscule number of borrowers.
Yeah, I mean, but people still don't like those numbers. Like $39 billion of their taxpayer dollars go into people who took out loans that they are not paying. And Harry, you talk about how You might have had a loan that's over 20 years old at this point, but if you were behind on that loan, you're really going to be the one that benefits from it. You're going to, even the people who the people are going to benefit the most, the people who haven't been paying their loan off.
Absolutely. So once again, the Biden administration has decided to incentivize irresponsibility. And so individuals that have been responsibly paying off their loan on time, they get left with what might be called a bad experience.
Yeah, I want to explain to people too, Harry, this is, there will be a notice and comment period, ACLJ action. We engage that, like we're going to explain about the National Defense Authorization Act. We engage those very quickly. We've got a great tool at ACLJ Action to do that. This does have to go through like an Administrative Procedures Act process. So they have to put this rulemaking process up. What authority are they going to grant this loan power?
Well, apparently they are claiming power under the United States Education Act. One of the things that I would encourage listeners to think about is that that is a massive piece of legislation, and they have been searching for quite some time, even before the Supreme Court decision, trying to find loopholes. Joe Biden has promised the American people that he would find some loopholes. I think they have perhaps found one, but this particular process and program will have to succeed with respect to notice and comment, which means it will be rigorously reviewed, and it may turn out that this program is just as illegal as the prior program, and the ACLJ, it will certainly review this in detail.
Yeah, I mean, so there's the fight for this one. It's not over. It's just beginning. They've just announced it. We're going to take action at acljaction.org and make sure you can have an opportunity to put your comments in to that, in opposition to this move again, to where people who, hardworking people who didn't take these loans out, are be paying it for people who did. And even those who are paying their loans back on pace, even though for 20 years. And listen, when you hear about these loans being 20 years, we need reform. No doubt about it. I mean, it is absurd. Yet, if you were the person who wasn't really paying the loan off and you were kind of putting it off and getting delays and using financial hardships, you're basically getting what that initial legislation was trying to do, which is more of a windfall by getting it totally paid off. So we are going to engage on that at acljaction.org. So look out for that. We will announce when we launched that as well. Let me go to the phones. We got questions coming in too about these reservists being called up, the military as well. Do we have that call on the AUMF? Is that one still up? It's not up anymore. It's not even dropped. Someone asked, you know, can you call up these troops via the authorization use of military force? That 2001 AUMF does still exist. That was that for Afghanistan? So that still exists. The Iraq AUMF has been, well, it was utilized by that one, right? Yeah, it's all the war on terrorism. So I don't know if you would yield. It might not be on point, but what I was going to tell you is presidential power, just quickly. You can deploy troops. All you have to do is notify Congress. And then technically the rule is after 30 days you notify. Now, we all know immediately now because of all the technology in the world. So it's not like we're sending ships over and it takes months to do. And then it's 60 days where Congress is supposed to then authorize those troops remaining. You don't have to declare war, but remaining. Even that is kind of Congress that doesn't really always hold the administration's feet to the fire. And they even have kind of granted more power over to the executive. That's why we've talked about how important the president is when it comes to being commander-in-chief. Those commander-in-chief foreign policy powers are so broad. So when you do this 3,000 troop call up, it's a big deal. But it's also something that the president is able to do oftentimes without much explanation. Usually doesn't even have to explain it to Congress for 30 days. So we'll follow that very closely as well, because it certainly doesn't go in line with President Biden saying that yesterday or today in Finland that the war in Ukraine is over. I ask Ukrainians that. Ask Russians that. Ask the Poles that. Ask the rest of Europe that. Support the work of the ACLJ for my birthday. Double the impact of your donation. at ACLJ.org. Make that Jordan Seculo donation today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I'm often told by networks, Logan, that we don't let it play long enough. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of them want like 8-9 seconds on the front and back.
It's way too long.
Well, no, it's because they may hit commercial buttons wrong.
You only have an
hour.
We
like
gotta get all the information out.
I know, but you might be being talked over a commercial sometimes.
Oh, I know this.
I've gotten an email many times.
Like a
Jordan, you jump in too quick. Jordan, you take it to the end too much.
Need to quit interrupting our broadcast.
Well, I'm just telling you.
You put their station ID.
You and Dad,
else.
You like to go right in. I know from experience for now 20 years.
Oh, thank
you. Will get emails.
I've never been on air at
all. You will get emails, but they go to me with the nasties.
It's true.
And say, you know, you're cutting in too quickly. You're hurting our station time, and it's over talking.
You're figuring out yourself, stations.
Maybe technology's gotten better with the stations.
Yeah. I would hope.
But I got that. I used to get that over and over and over.
I don't know if terrestrial radio stations are upgrading.
Yeah, so I'm probably still doing it. They just don't have anybody to email me.
Yeah.
1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we talked about the National Defense Authorization Act just briefly, really, in the first segment of the broadcast. So let me explain to you what that is. Of course, it's kind of self-explanatory in what it does. It is the Authorization Act for our military, the funding of our military. Obviously, a lot of this goes to the power of the purse with Congress, so how much the military is spending. And we talked about how there was a move inside the Department of Defense to, and this was done without legislation, but they announced that they were going to start paying for both abortions of members of the armed forces and travel. So if you were stationed at a base where abortion might not be legal, or you might be too far along in a pregnancy, that the military was going to use our taxpayer dollars to fly that person to a place they could go get abortion legally. And the House of Representatives, I want to give them credit for doing that, and our ACLJ action team as well. 6,000 of you took action on this and wrote letters to members of Congress through acljaction.org. And we got the support of a Democrat. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to even celebrate getting a Democrat, but let me highlight Democrat Henry Cuellar. He's been one of the few Democrats left in Congress, whether it's the border or life, who's willing to stand up and call out the National Democrat Party. He's a great Actually, a member of Congress for doing that. I don't agree with him on every issue, but I am glad that he's willing to buck the party and not afraid of the party trying to come after him, which I'm sure they're always trying to do. So the final vote was 221 to 213. That would strip the power away from the Department of Defense to pay for those abortions. But Logan, now the battle goes to the pro-abortion Senate.
Yeah.
So we believe, we don't know what will happen with the negotiation process, but we do believe the Senate will put this language back in. Then they'll go to the negotiation process. We will fight hard. We're going to launch a campaign for you to write your senators.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then we're going to have to see what comes out of, because they're going to be two kind of different pieces of legislation. They'll have to figure out that in conference. If that language is put back in, we're already coming up with the legal strategy to go to court.
That's what I want people to understand is today, before this broadcast, it wasn't like we were just sitting around getting ready to go live. We and a group of lawyers and our media team were all together working on what our strategy is and how you can get involved in this fight, because we know what's about to happen. And what happened was, we think that there are some violations here and we think you can get involved specifically. So here at the ACLJ, the work never stops, and it doesn't stop because of people like you who support the work. Again, it's Jordan's birthday. This is Jordan's birthday matching challenge show. All you got to do is go to ACLJ.org and make a donation today. It's all of them are doubled and matched by other donors. So do that, but mainly understand that the work is on an enormous level, but we also want to make sure that you have some ownership in it. You can take some responsibility. You can be a part of these you know, situations. Be a part of these movements that happen. You don't just hear us talk about it. Get your name. Get yourself involved. We know you want to do that. So go to ACLJ.org, and we're going to be unveiling that very soon.
It's also Bastille Day on my birthday, July 14th. So, you know, let's guillotine some liberal policies. Support the work of the ACLJ. I know you would. I know you were concerned.
I almost said drop. Drop
I know you're concerned there. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I want to get to one of those. Marsha's been holding on from Texas on line three. Marsha, thanks for holding on. We appreciate that. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just thinking about, I don't think that Biden is going to make it until the next election. But if he does, I'm wondering if one of the tactics is that the Dems will use is when you have a war, just like in World War II, we had FDR, and there were times when he probably, if there was an election without a war, something might have been different. But because there was a war, he went on to become president for four terms. With Biden, if they continue to start this war and he can lead from either his basement or some other hole in the office in the White House, then by default, the American public will say, well, he's in the office. We're starting this war. We don't want to transition to someone else right now, because the media will be so intense that Biden is doing this great job and we need this man to continue to keep this holy war going. And I'm wondering if that's one of the tactics, is the war machine is so huge in the White House that you can just sense that this is where they're headed. And they're going to try to keep him in, whether it's him or they put in another dummy in there with their other people.
This is what we have to do, Martha. We have to make sure our opposition to that is so loud and clear, both on the right and the left, that we do not want U.S. troops. I even think a lot of people on the left do understand this. I'm not talking about the radicals. But on the left, understand that we should not have U.S. troops directly at war with Russian troops. We have thousands of nuclear weapons pointed at each other. That is not a good position to be in. We need to be able to negotiate. That does not mean we can't fight some of these proxy battles. I might not be as supportive of some of those as even some other Republicans are. And I think there's a lot to debate on that, is how far we should go. But I do want to remind you that President Biden thinks this one's done. Now, I am always worried that they want to escalate. Martha, you're absolutely right. And Logan, it is very true. President Clinton was a master at this. I would say, remember, President Bush had no intention. He was a domestic policy focused president. Then we got hit with 9/11 his whole presidency changed to a war presidency. But that was not how he was coming in as I want to go to war and start.
Conservative.
No, it's all about education reform and all of those kind of programs and things like that. And then, boom, we all remember what happened that day in that schoolroom. Like I talk about education reform, that's where he was focused on. And then all of that. But President Clinton would utilize conflicts to his advantage politically all the time. President Biden, interestingly enough, though, admitted this one. He said, it's over. But we know it's not over because he's sending more troops. And I think if he could...
I don't think the people there feel like it's over.
I think if he could escalate it a little bit, he probably does think that that will make people less likely to change horses midstream or mid-war.
Well, I think you did have that a little bit with the Bush administration when you had that coming
second
in.
Second term, yeah.
Second
definitely.
Term, that's what I mean. Coming into the second term, I think there was a little bit of, even though maybe the momentum was with John Kerry, I think there were a lot of people who were like, this is not the time for a change.
Right.
And
I think that's very strong.
Yeah.
It's very strong. It's a very strong, because when you really do go to war, it's like, even when you don't support it, quickly you get very patriotic, because you say, you know what? I stand with our troops. I might not agree with our commander in chief sending them there, but God bless them. And we hope that they come back safely, and we're going to stand with them. Even if I don't want another Vietnam ever where troops come back and they feel like that we're not grateful for their service. They don't get to make those decisions. They follow orders. But I think it's a very telling call, something we need to watch over this process. It's why they can't stand Donald Trump saying, I could get this done in a day. And Logan, going to some of that too, politically, we're starting to see some real poll numbers showing Donald Trump just pulling away with it. We're hearing more and more reports that Ron DeSantis has not been able to get the financial support of the Koch brothers, who were putting together hundreds of millions of dollars to put it behind someone other than Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. They've been very vocal against Donald Trump. They were the last time around too. But DeSantis has taken on the policies, they think, on the woke stuff, has gone too far. And with Disney, they're very pro-business, too anti-business. They don't want anybody telling them how to run their companies because certainly the liberals would love to shut down how the Koch brothers run their politics.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's what we're seeing right now. When you have this, it's a lot of big conversations happening of where those funds end up going. Do they go to another candidate? Do they just disappear and they don't go to anyone? I think you've had some of the major funders say, I'm not giving my money to anybody this time. But what I told you is, you know, I get these text message alerts and all the different things from all the different campaigns. I keep getting them, and I'm not going to point out anyone specifically, but I got one yesterday and I was like, I forgot they're even running. I forgot this is happening. It feels too much. It honestly feels too much like it's a done deal in some ways because I like the debates and all that, but it just feels like the numbers are getting to the point of no return, that there isn't really hope for anybody. And I think we'll see a big shift. I mean, we're only less than a month away from that debate, and we know that Ron DeSantis said, of course, I'll be there. I don't care if Trump shows up or not. We'll see if that does anything. And if it does nothing for any of them, it's almost time to throw in the towel and call it.
We're going to take your calls on this too, 1-800-684-3110. Are you looking at any other candidate other than Donald Trump? Listen, we're not going to call you out here. I think all of us have different views on who we want to be the nominee. You can probably tell from me I'm leaning more the Trump way, but others on the broadcast lean other ways, and that's fine.
I feel like that's pointing. What I don't feel that way, and what I feel is I would love to have seen a robust group of people actually have a debate and there actually be some interesting conversation happened here. A debate happened amongst three or four top leaders in the conservative world where you actually had a debate with a DeSantis and those guys. But look, I'm the first one to admit.
Well, you're 30 points ahead in the polls.
I'm not an idiot. I look at this and go, yeah, like I just said, we're close to the point of no return.
Yeah, why go take the punches? The only person you're going to get attacked is you, and you won't even have enough time to respond to all of them, and everybody's just going to be throwing their best punch at you. Listen, You can play that. Donald Trump's pretty good at throwing punches as well. So I think up until the last minute, you really won't know if Donald Trump's going to show up. Yeah. That's part of the strategy too, because these candidates do all these mock debates.
Yeah, and
right now, the person you'd be trying to figure out who to play is Donald Trump.
You
right?
also can't mock debate Donald Trump.
I don't think so. You have no idea what he's going to hit you with.
Yeah, this is not the same as anyone else. Has nothing to do with policy. Has nothing to do with anything. It's going to be, we know that it gets dirty and it gets personal real quick. You want to take a call?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Alan, who's calling online too. You're on the air, Alan.
Hi. First of all, happy birthday, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the call. This is about the frankly shameless attempt to buy votes that the Democrats and Joe Biden are trying to do with the again trying to bail out student loans. And my question really fundamentally is why do we have them trying to buy votes and try to address the problem to pay off the debt for people who have incurred a debt that haven't paid it back? Why not go after the universities that are charging so much and get them a decent education without having to go into several thousand dollars in debt?
Well, and listen, all those universities, they take federal funding so that the federal government does have a role to play in that process. And listen, there's a lot of incentives out there. I mean, just to be clear, there's a lot of states that if you stay in state and you go to a school that's in your state, a state university, you will be paying a lot less money than some of these other private schools. But then what the system told us was that if you can't get into those schools, you should still go to college somewhere. And a lot of the times that meant private education, which was going to be a lot more expensive. And then you'd take on debt and you wouldn't necessarily get a job that would be worthwhile to take on that kind of debt. So there's a whole rethinking about higher education. Listen, I want people to be able to get educated. I think a highly educated country is great, but I think it should be much more diversified in the sense of what we consider higher education to be. Being a great mechanic can be a great profession, and you don't have to take on $300,000 worth of loans. Especially if it's something you enjoy. So, but we have this pressure system in America that's like, well, that's like not good enough.
Yeah, that's not a real job.
And even I feel like a lot of mechanics feel like I've got to send my kids to college and then grad school and all this because my job, even though it's paying for all that, it's like, well, I don't want them to do this because, and then you kind of think it's like, because why?
Yeah.
Because you created a pretty good life. You know, obviously, if you've got some genius kid who's really academically great, that's, you want to send them off to those kind of schools. But a lot of us aren't that, and are good at other things. And America, Lord knows, we need to rebuild our industry. We ain't going to be rebuilding industry with a bunch of political science majors like me.
All right. Well, give us a call. Hey, last segment of broadcast coming up next. If you have any thoughts on the political side of it, we'll take that, as well as any of the other topics we covered today. And also support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Again, this is the middle, right in the middle. You know, right in the middle of our matching challenge for the month of July. So we really could use your support right now. All donations made effectively doubled. So if you give $10 or someone else on the other end ready to unlock their $10, $20, $40, whatever it may be, $1,000. And it's Jordan's birthday. So I've said today is the Jordan Sekulow's Happy Birthday Matching Challenge. So do it right now. And we'll create a list and make a big happy birthday card with all the people that donated and give it to them. How about that? I always see those. We'll do that. The big, giant happy birthday card of all the people that donated today. We'll present it to them on the air whenever we can get it made, maybe tomorrow. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110, and we were talking politics. I wanted to get into that, and if you had to, wanted to weigh in on that, I wanted to give you the opportunity. And Holly in Texas on line one wants to weigh in. Hey, Holly.
Hey. So between DeSantis and Trump, DeSantis's marketing team just flat sucks. Like, they are horrible. They've let the gap get away too big. His best shot would be to go after VP with his policy strength and support Trump, either that or Scott. But either way, he's sizzled out.
Yeah, no, it seems that way. It seems like there are, it's been a tough moment.
Right now, he's it's not that he's fizzled out past where he was. He's the same place he was before he announced. I think you pointed out maybe he waited too long. There's a lot of thoughts now about, did he wait too long to get that law passed so that he could remain governor? Because it kind of seems like you're already kind of preparing to lose when you want to make sure you can keep your job. I always thought the best advice to DeSantis would be is to not support that law and to just leave the governor's office and go run full time for president and show people how, again, I don't want to have to both manage one of the biggest states in the country and try to run for president. That's not really fair to Florida voters. That's just been a strategy I oppose. Now, maybe we will all be proven wrong. It sounds unlikely at this point, and there has been a shift. The major donors, when I'm talking to major donors, I'm talking about the Koch brothers. They were supposedly going to get behind DeSantis. Now they're hedging. The checks haven't gone to the super PACs. The checks that were literally about to be written aren't going. Same goes, Murdoch has made it very clear. And you may have even seen a turn on Fox News where they were very friendly to DeSantis, and that is actually starting to change. Now, some of the hosts are still, and that's fine. That's up to them. But Murdoch is supposedly really wants Youngkin to get in the race. Now, to me, that's kind of like the Mitt Romney dream of 2008, and even less likely to get through to a nomination because no one is gaining steam. I will tell you this. Some of this money could end up going to Tim Scott. I'll explain that after I want to play this exchange between Will Kane, who I think does a great job on Fox News, and Ron DeSantis. Check it out.
But there are those that say there's something about you that's not connecting for whatever reason, not connecting with the voter, whether or not it be personality. Donald Trump says it's about loyalty. Francis Suarez says it's about your relationships. And it's not about those individuals so much as I'm curious in the analysis of Ron DeSantis of why not yet is connecting.
Well, I think, did you just see the news today about the record fundraising haul we've had? Nobody's been able to match that in the history of modern presidential politics. So we've got a huge amount of support to be able to take the case to the people. We really haven't started that yet. We're in the process of building out a great organization, and I think we're going to be on the ground in all these early states. It is a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type situation. That's what we're going to be doing.
Okay, here's the thing. This is getting late into the game. It's all about their infrastructure. I've been in those campaigns before. They think the structure. We're going to spend all our money on structure. If you're not up from 20% after all of the free attention you get, what do you think the structure is going to do for you? You as the candidate who can be on TV every single day, you can be on people's minds every single day, every moment. You have been Ron DeSantis, and yet your number's not going up. maybe it's not your team. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, it's the candidate. And again, you could be really smart. I think he is a really smart guy. You could be a great patriotic American. I think he is. But it's just, it might not be your right time. You might have spent money the wrong way. He also is not totally accurate about that fundraising haul. He did raise a lot of money, $20 million. Guess who raised $35 million? Donald Trump, who they usually mocked as a small dollar donor, outraised DeSantis by $15 million in this cycle. And that's hard money.
Yeah, okay, now, right.
Rick Scott, I mean, Tim Scott has raised $6 million. What I was going to point out is he could be someone that these groups like the Koch brothers and others who think, okay, maybe I can't get any of these other people in the race. The money could start going to Tim.
Yeah, and I think we've
the
all...
The anti-Trump money.
And we've all talked that Tim Scott has been one of the ones that kind of everyone universally is like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, he's very likable.
I don't think he's an anti-Trump guy.
That's what I mean. He's been like one of the ones that actually the Trump campaign, the Trump people seem to have been like almost embracing as, yeah, we love Tim Scott. And I think some of that's just historically, he's been a really great person to a lot of people. So I think that's pretty interesting to see. You say it's too late or it's starting to get late in the game. Now, in any other non-Trump scenario, it's not too late in the game because usually we see people spike during debates. We see people spike during the primary season. But is it too late because it's usually not this wide of a gap?
It's usually not this wide of a gap. It's usually not a former president.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot.
I mean, who's got 100% name identification in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And
you don't have to train anyone to know who he is.
And you were kind of running as a mini Trump.
Yeah. I mean, definitely in his gubernatorial ones. I mean, he had those fun ads where he's like, he is baby Trump.
And now he's trying to make a few distinctions. They're pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very small. Donald Trump's too light on LGBT. I mean, see, that pushes away corporate America.
Yeah, and some of those ads were very awkwardly made, where you weren't sure who... I wasn't sure in that ad who was supposed to be good and who was supposed to be bad. Because he used his negative headlines to show how good he was doing, and but they read very... It was a really odd... They're putting out really...
It was done by... It was put up by his official campaign.
Yes, by the War Room, and it's just odd content. Odd content over and over again, weird edits to try to make it feel like it's youthful, but it doesn't really quite land ever. Yeah. I thought the announcement video, like the original, like him going on the stage with Big Fight, I thought that one was fine. I thought they did a good job with that. But we all think that day of the Twitter disaster. And that's what he's never, I can be honest with myself, as someone who loves the state of Florida, it's my favorite state, you know, maybe second favorite state in the country and property owner there. He's never really fully recovered from
the announcement.
That Twitter announcement.
No, it was such a lie.
It was such a disaster. I think it really took a much bigger hit than people are ready to admit.
Polls have only been going down.
Right.
It's very weird for your polls to go down once people start seeing you out more on the campaign trail. Mm. And you start thinking, is it a personality problem? Because maybe they liked you more before they actually got to know you.
Yeah.
Or did you double down just too hard on some of those other issues?
But maybe they don't care.
I mean,
much
the polls just show it. Donald Trump goes up. Ron DeSantis stays in the same place. The others just kind of move around a point or two. I want to get to this one other issue, too. Could we play from Vice President Harris? You know, in her usual terms, she wanted to explain to us artificial intelligence, Logan. What is AI?
And I think the first part of this issue that should be articulated is AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught. And part of the issue here is what information is going into the machine that will then determine. And we can predict then, if we think about what information is going in, what then will be produced in terms of decisions and opinions that may be made through that process.
Yeah, so AI is artificial intelligence. If you don't know, if you never heard of it.
It's two letters.
Yeah, and we only have about 30 seconds left. Look, you're seeing AI being a big reason why Hollywood is shut down right now. You know, obviously, that's been now not just
corporations cut entire departments going AI.
Yeah, not just the WGA, but now SAG. Here's the thing, though. I think there's going to be a lot of people who respond, wink, wink, and maybe we're some of them who are going to take this opportunity to get our message out there, not just on AI, but an influence in media that you could not believe. We're going to have a lot of that coming up later this year. I'm very excited about it. Can't tell yet, but I'm going to tease you a little bit, and that's why I got to support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan, it's your birthday. It's your birthday match. Go to ACLJ.org.
Double the impact your donation on my birthday. Turn that $25 into $50. ACLJ.org.